Hello and welcome to another edition of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is your host, John Jantz, and my guest today is Ken Blanchard, a renowned speaker, consultant, and best-selling author. Currently serves as the Chief Spiritual Officer of Blanchard Companies, and he's the co-authored The 1 Minute Manager back in 1982, and some 40 books or so later, he is releasing TrustWorks. Again, co-authoring TrustWorks with four keys to building lasting relationships. So, Ken, thanks for joining me.
Well, good. My pleasure, John.
Did I get that number right, somewhere around 40 books?
Well, somebody said it's over 50 now, but I'm still having a lot of fun, so I've stopped counting.
Well, it's
all the publishers say, you should do one every 3 years, and I said, you know, I'm not doing it for you. I'm having a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, an incredible body of work, for certain. So I have not read all 50 of those books, but I do know a number that I have read. You choose the parable style, and TrustWorks is very much in that as well. So you want to talk a little bit about why you prefer that style and what you think the reader gets from it?
Well, you know, John, I've just found over the years is that if you tell stories, people get into the stories and don't sort of say, well, where's your research on this?
Right.
You know, where's this and that? And they get into it. And when I thought about my favorite books, they were the Jonathan Livingston Seagull, mm-hmm. The Little Prince, and Og Mandino's The Greatest Salesman of All. And then when I met Spencer Johnson, he was a children's book writer. He wrote this whole series of books for kids on value tales, you know, the value of honesty, the story of Abe Lincoln, and, you know, and so my wife met him first and brought him over and said, why don't you guys write a children's book for managers? They won't read anything else. And so since he was a children's book writer and I was a storyteller, we chose parables. And I think it just really is interesting. You know, Jesus taught by parable in the Bible, you know.
Sure.
And you'll get a kick out of this. I was going down Broadway about a year or so ago, and all of a sudden I hear this guy yell, Blanchard, you know. And I just come running down. He's a guy from I think, Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
With a friend of his. He said, could you tell him that dog story, you know, you told, you know. And I used to tell a story about, you know, why punishment doesn't work, you know. I said, a friend of mine called me and they got a new dog, wanted to know what I thought about the way they were house training their dog. And I said, what do you have in mind? I said, well, the dog drops a load, we're grabbing him, shoving his nose in him, pound him in the tail with a newspaper, and then throwing him out the window, you know, into the backyard, because that's where he's supposed to do it. And I said, how's it working? And they said, well, now when he grabs on the floor, he just jumps out the window, you know. And this guy had never forgotten that story, you know, and he'd remember about punishment just because of the story.
That is a great story. So you have written, and your company does a lot of leadership training around this idea of trust, and the book Trust Works we're going to talk a little bit about today. But, you know, I actually coined my own definition of marketing about 10 years ago, and I think it's actually become more true with each passing year for the small business anyway. And I've said for a long time that the definition of marketing is getting someone who has a need to know, like, and trust you. And again, I firmly believe that's the game that we're in. But the problem, of course, and you address this in the book, that trust is really a relative thing. I mean, everyone knows it when they see it, right? But everyone sees it a bit differently, don't they?
Yes, and Cindy Olmsted, who I wrote the book with, she'd been studying it for about 20 years, and she'd ask people, you know, describe somebody you trust and what are their characteristics, and describe somebody you don't trust and what are their characteristics. And she got all different answers, and that's why she developed this A, B, C, D kind of concept of trust. And then the first one, you know, if you talk about, you know, somebody has a need that you can trust, is A, which is ability. They think that you have the ability to deliver you know, what you promised you. I mean, you have the skills in that area. It's a competency issue, and we tend to trust people they can do the job. B is believable, which is a character issue. Do they walk their talk? You know, if they say, you know, we got the highest quality product, you know, do they really, you know, or is that just a slogan that somebody has told them to do? And C is connectedness, you know, how do you feel about the individual or the group in terms of, you know, do you feel some emotional attachment, you trust some attraction to them? We tend to trust people that we kind of like. And then finally, D stands for dependable, which is, you know, if they say they're going to deliver to you on Monday, do you get it on Monday? Or is there keeps on being delayed and that kind of thing. And so it's a interesting thing it is. And we divide the book into two parts. One is, you know, is a parable, which is a fun story about a cat and a dog and a parrot and a gerbil and a goldfish that live in a family. And, you know, the cat and the dog are always fighting. And one day the dog chases the cat and he jumps up on the dining room table and breaks all the silverware, pulls the tablecloth off. And the master of the house is furious and goes in the living room and says, if you don't start getting along, I'm going to get rid of all the animals. And so the parrot calls an emergency meeting of all the animals. And they teach the cat and dog how to get along while at the same time the family is learning about trust in their own ways. And so it's just a fun way to teach the ABCD model and a fun way. And then the second part is, what does this mean to you, including a self-analysis instrument that you can fill out and say, where are you on those four variables? And then it ends with an instrument that says, am I trustworthy, which is really fascinating to give to people and say, you know, given this role and all, where would you rate me on these things?
Yeah, well, let's dive into a couple of those, and I appreciate you setting that up. I was going to ask you to set up the story of Wolf and Whiskers, and by the way, I have a cat that I could lend you at some point if you want to use for an evil character in one of your books. But are there really ways to become? This is sort of a set up question because I know from reading your book you believe this, but what are, so I'll ask it a different way, what are some of the ways that people do become more trustworthy? I mean, that I think that's obviously the goal of what you're talking about.
Yes, and I think the first thing, John, is to find out, you know, where you're falling down with somebody, you know, and one of the things we hope with the ABCD is that you'll be able to have a discussion with somebody. And so we have in the back a number of little case studies where there's a trust issue and like with your parent and the son and all, where you can actually say, you know, I get a sense that you don't trust me, you know, and I'd love to have you look at these things and even fill out this little instrument and let's talk about where am I falling down. And because I think the first thing is to admit that there might be a problem and, you know what, you might be the cause and where you've fallen down on that. And so that begins the discussion of where are you on this and what could you do to really rebuild it.
And, you know, the thing that's interesting, though, I think, particularly in the workplace, and now that you bring it up, certainly in the home, I think, as well, is that I think real trust is built on mutual respect. I mean, would you say that that's true? And unfortunately, in a lot of workplaces, they, you know, I'm the boss. You know, you're the employee. You know, or I'm the manager, and so you have to trust me, or you have to respect me, or at least you have to act like it. I mean, how do you know? Obviously, that doesn't make for a very healthy working relationship, does it?
No. In fact, that's why we got excited about the trust concept, because it so fits in with our leadership stuff. We've been doing a lot of research on, you know, the relationship between employee work passion and engagement, you know, and customer loyalty and organizational success, and that it's really driven really by, you know, the relationship that you have with your supervisors and your managers, a lot of it, you know. And do they create an environment of trust, or do they act like it's my way or the highway? And what it does is it motivates you to kind of, you know, say, thank God it's Friday, you know, and not give your all, where if somebody builds a relationship up and you really trust them and you know that you trust them, you know, it's a mutual trusting thing, boy, you'll do anything for them. And now you really go out of your way because you'll also take care of the customers, which eventually take care of the bottom line.
And I remember years ago I had a conversation like this with Stephen Covey, and he said something that has stuck with me to this day. You know, there's a lot of conversation about being trustworthy, and you know all the things that you do, you know, like you've mentioned some of the, you know, some of them, able, believable, connected, dependable. But sometimes I think people forget that we have to extend trust to others as well in order to sort of build some of that. And I think you cover that in the parable very well.
Yes, and I think that's just so true. If you want somebody to trust you, you got to also give them a little slack too, you know, and mistakes are learning opportunities, not mistakes, you know. And so if something happens, then you can say, gee, what can we learn from that, rather than, you know, how do I beat you up?
Yeah, my dad had a great saying. He used to, when my brothers and I would start, you know, pointing fingers at, you know, why something went wrong, and he would say, fix the problem, not the blame.
And, that's right.
I think that's such a great way to look at things. So as I read this, I think that it's the easiest interpretation, because you do a lot of leadership training, I think, is for the manager to the employee and vice versa. But I really think that you could. It's not much of a stretch to extend this as the company to its customers either, is it?
No, I think that's a really important thing, and I think that's where it ties into what you were saying earlier about marketing, you know, can you really trust somebody? And I think that's just so true, you know, because they, you know, think you have the ability to deliver a high-quality product, you know, and they think you're believable, and, you know, how do they feel about, you know, the salespeople and the people they're connected with, and are you dependable, you know? Do they get what they want, where they want it, and when they want it, you know?
Absolutely. So, talk about some of the classic ways that I think you call them trust busters, but that we erode or kind of withdraw from the bank account of trust.
Well, I think you can look at each one, you know, and so when you talk about ability, how do you erode your ability trust? Well, is you do by not following through. Not completing tasks, taking initiative.
I would add to that not being clear about what it is that you really bring as value, too. I think where people really get themselves in trouble is to say, well, sure, we can do that.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
And so you just, you have to, that's what I think is really fun, is to look at, you can fill the instrument out yourself.
Right.
See where you fall down, and then go to that area, because under each of the A, B, C, D, we have trust builders and then trust busters, and you can look at, what are the busters and say, oh, yeah, I guess that one kind of nailed me there, and then, okay, how am I going to build that up, because it's usually the opposite kind of behavior.
Now, in the book you have tools. Are there some online tools or resources, too, that we should know about?
Yes, there are, and I think I don't have it with me right now, but there's got to be a website. But you can go on KenBlanchard.com, our company, and look for trust. But I think it's TrustWorksBook.com.
We'll make sure. I should have looked at that myself. But we'll make sure we put it in the show notes too, so people can have as well. But you're right. I have been to KenBlanchard.com, and you do have a path for people to find it through that as well. Talk to me a little bit about how a company, and again, because I think a lot of times people get blindsided. They don't realize why they're the low cost leader, or why they have churn in their customer base. I mean, these are obviously signs of something, right? And so, are there some classic ways to know if you've got trust issues?
Well, I think the biggest way is to stay in close communication with people and ask them. It's really interesting. We were at a restaurant the other day, and of course, the manager comes over and said, hi, I'm the manager. Is everything okay tonight? And of course, we said, fine, and all, which really means he didn't want any data,
Right.
And where when we train restaurant managers to go around, we say to them, you come to the table, hi, I'm Ken Blanchard, I'm the restaurant manager. I wonder if I could ask you one question. Is there one thing we could have done differently tonight that would have made your stay with us so much better?
Yeah.
In other words, you want to ask questions where you got a chance to get So because feedback is the breakfast of champions, you know, and so we teach our salespeople and all of our people to constantly say, how are we doing? You know, is there anything we can do to serve you better? And just be open to that. And when people give you feedback, the first thing you need to say is, thank you. God, that's really helpful. Is there anything else I should know? You know, rather than get defensive and try to explain why it happened and all, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's amazing. You see companies do that. They get defensive, and then people just stop telling them, but they just go to a different restaurant, don't they?
No, that's right. You know, and I love, you know, Steve always said, you know, seek first to understand, you know, and then you act later on. But first, listen, you know. And well, if God wanted us to talk more than listen, He would have given us two mouths.
So, how do you fix trust issues? And I know you talk about that, and you even have the assessment and the ways for people to, you know, start communicating about trust, which is probably step number one. But do you have any sort of tried and true advice for somebody that says, okay, we need to fix this?
Well, I think that the biggest one is to own your part in that, you know, and not kind of point the finger at somebody recognizing that three fingers pointing back at you. And you know, is to say, gee, I sense we have a trust issue, and I know I must be a big part of that. You know, could we talk? And it's that kind of honesty that people like. Colleen Barrett, who was the president of Southwest, and I wrote a book with her called Lead with Love. She has a wonderful saying. She said, people admire your skills, but they love your vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you will be vulnerable with people and say, gee, I think I might have made a mistake and I played a role in this, and not put it on them, then I think you're going to start to get the feedback and the discussion going, because they really feel like we can talk.
Yeah, probably one of the more popular books out there right now is a book on vulnerability by Dr. Brené Brown. And I think you're right. I think that when you go to believable, sometimes it's a lot more believable to say, I don't know the answer. Let's figure it out.
Yes.
I wonder if you have an opinion on trust building in the digital age, or trust eroding in the digital age. It used to be when you and I would sit across from a desk from each other, and I could read your body language, and I knew what you stood for, and we had a conversation, even a frank conversation. In many cases, I think people felt like, okay, you know, I know where you're coming from. That type of feeling. But a lot of times now we fire off this same sort of frank email, and there's so many ways to misinterpret, and I wonder if that leads to a lot of trust issues.
Yes, I think people got to learn how to use email. If I really have some feelings or some things to share on all, I don't want to do it over email. I use emails to, you know, share, you know, general information and to, you know, answer general questions and all. But I try to not, you know, get all kinds of things involved there that could be misinterpreted. I mean, nowadays, you know, you could say something and all of a sudden, boom, it becomes viral all over.
Right.
Like they say, you know, what Ken Blanchard said to me, you know, I think it's that's kind of a scary thing about how quickly things can get communicated, and all. That's why I think you got to be careful about what you put in email.
Well, yeah, of course, you know, you're a public figure, and so you're an easy target for people to criticize and say things. And you know, I get those emails too from people, and you kind of think, what planet are they on? But you're best not to respond at all.
I've gotten criticism stuff, you know, in terms of I have a Lead Like Jesus ministry,
So
religious rights say I'm a New Ager disguised as a, you know, Christian and all, and I get some really wild stuff, and I just always, my response is, I'm sending my prayers to you.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
You just
can't get in trouble with that response.
No.
One last thing. I wonder if you have an opinion on. I have a very strong opinion on this, but I think there is a very, very deep correlation in business to the asset of trust and profitability.
Oh, absolutely. I think it goes hand in hand. And if you lose trust with your people, they're going to mistreat your customers, and you're going to lose trust with them. And the whole bottom line gets taken down. You know, I think that profit is the applause you get
right
for creating a trusting, you know, wonderful culture where people can be the best they can possibly be, and in the process take care of your customers. It's the applause you get. And I think where we get in trouble with trust issues is when we act like the only reason to be in business, which Wall Street kind of pushes sometimes, is to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And then the customers are, you know, I guess they're supposed to be important, but your people are exchangeable parts. And boy, that comes off really clearly to people. And then that plays out with your customers and the whole thing. It becomes a vicious cycle.
Yeah, absolutely. I have said long and many, many times that that you're employees, your people are treating your customers exactly the way they're being treated.
Absolutely, yeah. They, you know, I used to talk about bicycle leadership. You know, when you bend your back to those above while you trample those below. You know, sometimes you know they hit you from the top, and boom, all of a sudden. And then who's the front line people who get to hit? They get
right.
to hit the customers.
That's right. That's all
it's like. That's why it's so much fun to fly Southwest and to see that whole. Culture that they've created there.
You know, my just a side note, I think some of the other airlines are getting it. I think I've noticed a real... I fly a lot, as I know you do, and I'm a big Southwest fan, and it seems like the last couple of years some of the other airlines are finally coming around.
Yeah, I think they're really getting to realize that there's something there that maybe they ought to take care of their people, because, you know, I mean... I remember one time, you know, one of the big airlines that I've yet to fly a lot, and they took away the pillows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to the stewardess, I said, you know, why did you take the pillows? She said, well, I lost my retirement, you know. You know, I mean, she could care less about the pillows, you know, because she was getting beat up at the other end.
Yeah, that was... It was rough for a few years with those guys. Well, Ken, thanks so much. This was a pleasure. A great book, TrustWorks, Four Keys to Building Lasting Relationships. Something that you, there's very, very meaty ideas, but it's something that was can be delivered. And I think I read it from front to back on a fairly short flight. So it's a easy read, but full of some great ideas that can be very practical and can be applied. So I appreciate you stopping by. And
well, good. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. Enjoyed being with you.
Take care now.